Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Hey, it's Doug Gottlieb. You know, our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for fast, free shipping, free roadhouse protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Hankook DynaPro AT2 Extreme. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive, simply go to TireRack.com/sports. TireRack.com, it's the way tire buying should be.
Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 5 Eastern, 12 to 2 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. Coming to you from the TireRack.com studios, TireRack.com. Unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, over 10,000 recommended installers, TireRack.com. It's the way tire buying should be. Buyer's sick, so we're graced by the presence of Monsi Bolaños. Of course, we got Lorena on the ones and twos, and my man Jay Stu producing. If you got an issue, feel free, hit us up on social media, at Gottlieb Show, Twitter, Instagram. Somebody hacked my Facebook page, so I don't even know how to get into that anymore. Seriously. So it's a real thing. It's like, there's all these ads for like weight loss things. Like, dude, I have no idea. And they changed whatever the email address and password is. So Doug Gottlieb Show Facebook thing, like, I don't know. Somebody knows how to fix that one. Let me know on that one too. Welcome in. Snow on the way to many parts of the Sierra Nevadas. A lot of wind in Vegas. We're on our Vegas affiliate. I know there's rain in the East Coast and some rain down in the southeastern part of the United States. I don't know if that affects our folks in Jacksonville and Orlando that came online. Also, we're on in New Orleans now as well. So the Doug Gottlieb Show is spreaded maybe like a rash or maybe like, well, I don't want to say wildfire because there is a really bad wildfire in Texas. I do think, though, it's okay to use these commonly used expressions and not be seen as insensitive, right? Spreading like wildfire is a really appropriate thing. You're like, man, wait a second. Wildfire does, in fact, spread. Anyway. There was a weird sequence of events last night. So my son Hayes got a hoop workout in, and I was watching the end of Central Florida's win over Oklahoma State on my phone, and then shot with him for a little bit after his workout. And then we started having a discussion about the NBA. And if you know young Hayes Gottlieb, a lot of his opinions are formed, especially on basketball. Okay, and he loves this idea of hot takes. I got a hot take for you, Dad. Celtics are the best team in the NBA. What do you think? I was like, well, you know, they have the best record in the East. I don't know if that's that hot of a take, but okay. He's like, well, who do you think the best team is? He's like, what do you think about the Minnesota Timberwolves? I was like, eh, I like them. He's like, I think the Thunder are the best in the West. I was like, well, I'm going to go with the Clippers. Really? Yeah. So I walk in to my home, and the Laker-Clipper game is on, and it's like midway through the third quarter. And I hadn't been paying attention, and I look up, and I'm like, wow, the Lakers appear dead in the water. And if you've picked up a dead animal dead in the water or something else offends you, again, just a commonly used expression. But it was bad. I mean, really bad. And so I'm sitting there going, man, are they tired? Have they played on back-to-back nights? Are the Clippers just better? Right? I was at a Laker-Clipper game earlier this year, and it was much the same, where the Clippers hopped out to a big lead, and the Lakers came back and won. And then all of a sudden, LeBron James stays in the fourth quarter when the Clippers sub, and he starts hitting a shot, and another shot, and another shot, and another shot. And then the crowd got behind him, and I had a bunch of people who were watching the game, and it was like, wait, this is at, it's at Staples, or now Crypto, but it's technically the Clippers' home night, which looks different. The lighting's different. The mood's different. The atmosphere's different. But you know what's this? What's the same? Is the Lakers are still more popular. And it became like a Laker home game all of a sudden. But I'm going to warn you about something. Okay? I am not saying LeBron James wasn't anything other than otherworldly. And it was the, hey, Kawhi and the Clippers have been better all season. Kawhi's the better player right now consistently in his career. But LeBron James had 34 points, 19 of which in the fourth quarter, and was at a plus 11 in the plus minus. And I thought back, somebody else brought this up earlier on the show in regards to somebody else, and maybe it was with LeBron James. Toby Keith passed away about 2 weeks ago. And Toby had a lot of songs. One of my favorites was the song, I Ain't As Good As I Once Was, But I'm As Good Once As I Ever Was. And I thought that was perfect for last night. LeBron James is not, nor she to be expected to be, the elite superstar, top five in the league, maybe top five in league history, guy who's going to score 40,000 points. He ain't expected to be peak LeBron. And the percentage of times in which he can play peak LeBron has gone down, which we got to be reasonable for. He ain't as good as he once was, but he's as good once as he ever was. And that's the fear that other teams deal with in the playoffs. Right? They're like, man, we don't want to get into a game six or a game seven. You know, he still gets the respect of the officials. We've seen the numbers where they don't drive that much, yet they get more calls than anybody else in the league. You know, when you have the league's biggest star, LeBron is the league's biggest star. That's going to happen. But you don't want to get in one of these playoff games with the Lakers because he does have it in him. He can't do it for all seven games. He probably can't do it for four games. But when it clicks, when the energy's there, when the shot's falling, not a lot you can do. You know, not a lot you can do. But similarly, it's the opposite for the Lakers. That's fool's gold. You convince yourself, the old man still got it. And he does, but not every night. You know, not every night. He can still defend, not every possession. And the percentage of times in which you can do it goes down and down and down. And I even think he intimidated Kawhi Leonard late in that game. Kawhi Leonard had the ball with 10 seconds to go. Actually, he had it with 15 seconds to go. He's dribbling the ball up the court. And they're down a point. And he passed the ball to James Harden, who then passed it right back to him. Like, what are you doing? You're the guy. Take over the game. Right? And that's when the Clippers called a timeout. Now, eventually, out of the timeout, they got the ball to Kawhi Leonard, who missed a shot. That's his shot, right? It's the, like, curling jump shot, 15 feet on the baseline. You know, he famously made the three-point shot, which we were talking about last night, against Joel Embiid and the Sixers when he's playing in Toronto. A more difficult shot, but he made that one, missed that one last night, and, you know, you lose the game. And that's where you go, well, you tip your cap, it's a make-or-miss league. Like, no. You had the ball with LeBron James. Why'd you have to call a timeout? Now, keep in mind, all of this was without Paul George. And so, in spite of the fact that the Lakers won the game, if you think the Lakers can win in the NBA playoffs with LeBron James and that, again, all of that said, the game was over. The Clippers didn't have Paul George. Like, well, I don't know, end of game, Paul George. Okay, but when Kawhi Leonard comes out normally at the start of the fourth quarter, Paul George can remain in and there's no foot off the gas pedal. So this isn't me saying LeBron hasn't been great and wasn't incredible last night. This is me saying, one, this is what NBA teams fear about the Lakers, is they don't really think they're all that good, but man, when they are, and when LeBron's got it going on, not all you can do. And then the opposite is true of the Lakers and the predicament they're going to be in the offseason, which is, are you really thinking that's going to happen less and less and less often? Not more and more and more often. It's just reasonable. And that's if you can maintain being healthy and you're 40 years old. He has the greatest history of longevity in this league. He's a great player. And because he keeps himself in peace, physical condition, you almost have to say age is just a number because he doesn't play like a man his age. But when you really dig in deep, he doesn't guard like he used to. He's not consistent in terms of his movement. He picks his spots. And when he has it, he's amazing. But the amount of times that he has it, those are going to decrease over time. That's the essence of it. Have we seen guys fall off completely? Yes. Jason Kidd's last playoff series with the Knicks, if you remember, he couldn't even make a layup. But with LeBron, it's just more gradual. And it's a percentage play. The Lakers are still 10 and a half games out of, you know, the top. They're still, you know, two games away from the Kings in terms of staying out, getting out of that eight seed. They're still in the playoff series. And yes, they came back and won the game, but they were down 21 points without Paul George playing for the Clippers for a reason. And if you ever thought that Toby Keith's songs didn't connect with you, I give you, I ain't as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was.
Could we chat about the Michael Jordan comparison now? The Jordan v. LeBron debate, which is pretty tired, but don't you have to give LeBron this part of it that he's much better now at 38 or 39 than MJ was in his final two seasons with the Wizards, right? I mean, MJ, I think he averaged 20 points, but it was kind of like a, man, check this guy out. He's still averaging 20 points. But, like, LeBron can still put performances up like that that he did last night. And he seems like he's still 2 or 3 years. I mean, he's still going to be playing for 2 or 3 years. You have to give him that part of the whole MJ debate, don't you?
Yes, I would. I would say there's a little difference there, okay? This is important. Okay. Michael Jordan's last year playing, he was 39 years old. He played every game. Played every game. And I think he played in a bad wheel, right? And but he played every game on a bad team. And it was one of those, again, this will sound like an excuse. It's an explanation. Because I believe that if LeBron played every game, his numbers would be far lower. It's one of the actual geniuses to LeBron James is they've done this for a long time in that they've managed his number of games played and that keeps his average up. Okay. Because you also ask yourself, like, well, if you're trying to dial back LeBron, like, and he's still going to work out, like, just have him play, like, 15 minutes in a night, 20 minutes a night. Problem when you play 15, 20 minutes is you can't score. You just don't, you can't accumulate the volume of touches and shots and possessions. And, yes, you can rest yourself, but you can't anyway. So they just have had him not play. The other part, too, was he was legit retired for 3 years. You know, and your body atrophies and all this stuff atrophies, whereas LeBron has kept going. But yeah, I'm okay saying that. Like, yeah, he's better at 39 than Jordan was. Okay. Circumstances are different. One's on a team that's put together to try and win now, has another superstar on his team. The other one, Jordan, it was a team that he helped put together. It was a mess. He had retired previously, and he played every game. And by playing every game, it's going to wear you down more, especially when you're at 39 years old. And he did have some games in which he exploded. And that's, if you look at Jordan that year, you'd be like, oh, well, there was a couple of games which he had. But no, he did not have it nearly as much as LeBron, quote unquote, has it. And you can, by the way, pull up his game log and see he had 33 on the 18th of February, this is Michael Jordan. He had 32 against Orlando. He had 45 on a night against New Orleans. He had 43 against the Nets. You know, I mean, heck, and that was in February. Well, last night was what, February 28th? On February 27th, 2023, 21 years ago, Michael Jordan had 35 points. He had 11 rebounds and 6 assists in a win over Houston.
With the likes of Kwame Brown, Christian Laettner, and Jerry Stackhouse.
You want to know who played with him that night? Let's look. Hold on. One more time. I get you the exact box score. Okay, here's the box score. Michael Jordan. Where's Michael Jordan? There we go. Michael Jordan, yes. Christian. Other starters were Jerry Stackhouse had 28. Tyronn Lue was his starting point guard, ironically enough. Right? Brendan Haywood. Man, Brendan Haywood, come on, B. Didn't pee a drop. He had 0 points as a starting big guy. Stackhouse had 28 and Christian Laettner. They played Juan Dixon off the bench and Charles Oakley. He got his boy Oakley one last gig, too. There's got to be some great stories there. Kwame Brown, Larry Hughes, Byron Russell. Man, he had Brian Russell off the bench. That's got to be cruel. How many times do you think he mentioned to him the game-winning shot in Utah? Every day? Bobby Simmons and my boy Jahidi White. Jahidi's a good dude. He played at
Georgetown. Long Beach State.
No, Jahidi White was Brian Russell's Cleveland High School and Long Beach State. There you go. It's the depth of my knowledge. Jahidi White played at Georgetown. That's a big, strong dude, man. Anyway, he didn't play. And they played against the Houston Rockets. The Rockets, you ready for it? Katino Mobley had 24. Yao Ming had 16. Stevie Francis was 1 of 13.
Stevie Franchise.
Played every minute. It was the overtime game. Played 50 minutes. Eddie Griffin, who died, right? Eddie Griffin died. And James Posey. That was his starting lineup. Joaquin Hawkins, Jay Hawk, who he runs a program in Long Beach. He had 10. Maurice Taylor came off the bench. Glenn Rice, Mucci Norris, Kelvin Cato, Tito Maddox. Wow, these are some names right here. 21 years ago. So you could sit there and go like, well, he's, and I think LeBron is, I think it's fair, Chase, too. If we want to take 39-year-old seasons, that's fair. We also should contextualize it. And one team is better than the Lakers. It's a playoff-caliber team. They have Anthony Davis. There is no Anthony Davis on this team. I guess Jerry Stackhouse, but he's not. Jerry Stackhouse has never been a top-5 player in the league, and Anthony Davis has. And he played every night. Played every night. Whereas the smarter thing to do to average more points, to have more energy, is to play 2 out of every 3 nights, which is what LeBron's doing. Like LeBron, they play tonight too, right? And like suddenly, like now LeBron has, well, his ankle might flare up. Like, no, he's just old. Everything hurts. You need an extra day. Okay. There's the difference. But he was unbelievable. And then they tried double teaming him and his teammates were hitting shots and they were moving without the basketball. That was something to watch. That was really, really special. That was cool to watch. And I thought that what he said after the game was so appropriate. Hey, like, game's not over until there's double zeros on the clock.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. A little late, great Toby Keith for you. As he wasn't as good as he once was, but he... Well, there's some fighting. It's not just all about loving with the not as good, good song. Good tunes. We're broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios. Mark Dominic will join us upcoming in like two or three more minutes. Reminder, shortly after the show, our podcast will be going up. If you missed any of today's show, be sure to check out the podcast. Just search Doug Gottlieb wherever you get podcast. Also, follow, rate, review that podcast. Again, search Doug Gottlieb wherever you get your podcast. You'll see today's show posted right after we get off the air. So, there's this, the new, what is it called? It's a documentary. Documentary. About the Patriots dynasty. Turns out, it appears to be a Robert Kraft production, right? That's the, essentially like, it's just like the what was it? The Last Dance was really a Michael Jordan documentary. So, the thing about documentaries, and I would also point out, no documentaries are ever going to match up to that of The Last Dance, because not only is The Last Dance Michael Jordan, and was there space, and but there was nothing else going on, right? It was literally COVID, and we were all like, give me some more. Can you give me two episodes, not just one? Just give me two episodes. Just two episodes. Like, what? Oh, one episode. And then we'd all discuss it. Like, do you remember those days? I remember in the days of COVID, there was no traffic. And I'd come to work with one topic. At first, it was Tom Brady. And then, well, back in yesteryear, it was the Last Dance documentary. We're literally talking about, like, 25-year-old stories only brought back in a documentary. The Patriots dynasty essentially ended a couple years ago, but we're talking about it now, sort of, on a documentary which not a lot of people have watched, and it appears to be produced by people close to Kraft, so it's from the kind of Kraft perspective. Does that mean Belichick in, like, a couple years is going to go tour Australia and, like, Scottie Pippen's doing? I don't know. I don't understand what the desire to crap on what has been the greatest dynasty of the last 20 years in the NFL is, other than can you learn from the successes and learn from the failures and how they were able to overcome, despite the fact you're going to have failures. Let's welcome in Mark Dominic. He joins us. Of course, he was a general manager in this league. I'm sure he's in Indy at the scouting combine where we're watching guys run 40 times, and it's kind of like the league's convention. Real quick on the Belichick, him not being in the league. What's the sense you get from people around the NFL? Will Bill Belichick coach again?
You're right. I am reporting live from Indianapolis. I think it's my 30th consecutive year, Doug, here, so... got some history with this town, it feels like. But, you know, with Belichick, I think a lot of people turn around and say it really looks like if he's coming back, more than likely it'll be the NFC East, independent of how clubs there do, meaning how do the Cowboys do, how do the Giants do. Those are the teams that most people think of Belichick because they're trying to figure out where you could put him. I think it's going to be up to Bill, too, to decide if he wants to continue to pursue. You've got to decide if you want the whole culture change and what kind of culture change you want within your organization. And he's certainly not getting any younger. And I think the other thing that you think about as you hire head coaches, you know, how many years does Bill want to coach left? I mean, and Billy coached to a level. Is it 3 or 4 years, or is there 6 years there? Because, you know, usually when you hire a coach, hoping you find the Harbaugh, the Tomlin, who's there for 15, 20.
What is your assessment of this survey, the NFLPA survey, of players in regards to quality of facilities, quality of management, quality of coaching, quality of ownership? When you read the results, what's your takeaway?
Well, the trouble you have is it's subjective to what you know, and therefore it's hard for somebody that's not a Chicago Bear to know the Chicago Bears inside and out in terms of the percentage of what they really get. They can talk to the players, they can get the quotes, they can get the information in terms of what they respond. I have a hard time with some of it because you really don't know how, you know, the two teams I work for, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, how if they really are. And it starts from ownership all the way through the organization. You know, I see those. Some of them do make sense when you kind of say, well, I get that. But most of the times I just look at it and go, I don't think these guys really have an accurate sense of what 32 different teams do because we all do it so differently.
Well, supposedly, again, Clark Hunt, you know, he got an F minus on being the owner. And the reports are, well, they're frustrated that they haven't upgraded facilities. They're talking about new practice facility and whatever. Like, does that actually matter?
What matters is Clark Hunt open up the purse and say, I'm going to keep Chris Jones on a long-term deal. Right. And if I have to franchise Snead, I will. Therefore, I'm going to commit $150 million to the organization. That's what I want from an owner. If the players really want something, they want to get paid. And Clark Hunt has been willing to pay his players. And that's what you look for. And would you like a new facility? Sure, that sounds great. And they're a lot of money. But at the same point, yes, the clubs are making a lot of money. But it's really, is the owner structuring contracts to really reward the players? And do they do it consistently, or do the players have to leave to get the right number? I think in Kansas City, players don't have to leave to get the right number. And I think that's the sign of a good owner.
Caleb Williams' dad's like the business manager for Caleb Williams. There's been some weird asks out there. And I guess, like, hey, you can ask a lot of stuff. You just got to be willing to hear the term no. No, you can't get partial ownership. No, we're going to have the fifth-year option. No, that's not how it works. But what's the sense you get from NFL people in terms of their level of patience in comparison to the talent that he has, right? Like, you're able to put up with stuff because the guys, is he talented enough and capable enough that this doesn't just turn everybody off?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of the things as you go through the process. I think if you're a club that's high in the draft, I think you want to have the conversation with the dad. I think you want to reach out and sit down with him and kind of get a sense of, like, understanding where the boundaries are going to be and what's the overall expectations of what he thinks is going to be how his son's handled, and make sure that you understand completely as an organization, you know, albeit the Chicago Bears, that you were able to handle the player, handle the father, or handle the situation. But you got to set the boundaries ahead of time, and you need to do that prior to the draft. And if I was the Bears, I would be certainly having multiple meetings with him just to kind of get a better understanding of what he thinks, how this is going to play out. Because, you know, I don't want somebody that's going to be drafted number one and suddenly, like, even though every agent and everybody knows it's been collectively bargained, you can't get rid of the fifth-year option. I don't want him to sit out in camp because he's just trying to prove a point that he's trying to get something he can't actually get. So I think those are important conversations you have to have with him to make sure that he's the right fit for the team.
No question. No question asked. What about the actual the drop-off between him, Jaden Daniels, and others? Like, how much better is he, or how much more likely is he to be a star as opposed to Daniels and Drake May?
It's really tough, right? Because I don't think it's tremendously different. Like, I think there's a little drop off, but, you know, because you see some of the plays that Caleb's made, they're like, wow, that is amazing that he could get his body contorted that way and still make a throw. But then you'll watch the Notre Dame game and go, is this the number one pick in the draft? I don't know. You know, it just doesn't feel like it. And so that's where I sit there and say, Caleb's up there. He's the top dog. He is the number one pick, or the number one prospect. But I don't think the drop-off is as significant. And that's why I think we're hearing a lot of quarterbacks 1-2-4, 1-2-5, something like in that range. I think that's why we're hearing a lot of that. And it's not just a matter of fact of, like, it's just Caleb, and then it's a lot of positional players, and it's quarterback. I think these quarterbacks are going to go pretty high. But I look at Caleb this way. Trevor Lawrence, to me, whether we like what he's done in the NFL or what he becomes, I'm not sure. Joe Burrow, because of the 1 year, what he was able to do. Those guys, to me, were farther up the board and farther as a prospect than where I think Caleb is going into the league.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I think most people look to Trevor Lawrence and go, I don't know what's going to go wrong here. Like, I don't know how that's going to go wrong. It was really very little things you saw in his game. You're like, you can't do it. He hasn't been the savior for the franchise that you were expecting. He's certainly been better.
Right. I agree, but I'm interested that he's not the can't miss of those guys, right? Like, Luck was the highest rated can't miss guy, and then Lawrence was in that discussion. And is it, what similarities, if any, are there to the Pat Mahomes coming out?
Right, and I think that's the one where you kind of see the athleticism and the ability to contort his body and make, like, crazy plays or run a scramble around and make something happen. You see that, and that's the one thing where you want to draw up to Patrick Mahomes. But it's just, boy, to compare it consistently to Patrick Mahomes, I think it's something different. And I think Patrick's arm talent was even more, had more velocity than I think what Caleb has. And again, I don't dislike Caleb, and I think the Bears are taking Caleb. But I think you've got to what we talked about earlier, I think the most important part is understanding who you're getting and what you're getting. And, you know, obviously he's not here in Indy, which in terms of throwing, which is fine. I don't think that's a bad thing. I would probably recommend him to do the same thing, even though I'm from the club's perspective, you know, what's going to be the positive here. But I think that for the overall prospect, I mean, the better can't miss in this draft class is Harrison, Marvin Harrison. He's the one that's the can't miss pick.
Yeah, and that's it's a balance there, though, because you get so much more out of the quarterback, don't you? Although they have a quarterback, or maybe, I don't know, there's lots of creative things you can do. Let me ask you about running backs. It feels like even without collusion, there's a game plan where all of these running backs, none of them are being franchised, right? None of them. Josh Jacobs, you know, Tony Pollard, you go to Saquon Barkley, right? You go as Austin Eckler, you go around the league. And again, they're at various stages of their career, but all are in the second or third contract kind of area. They all were upset. They all hopped on the phone together and cried, woe is me. Is this a flooding of the market to draw down their value by teams? Like what is really at work here within league circles?
Well, I think there's a couple things. I did say last year that we're going to really learn what the value of running backs are when we hit free agency in 2024. And it's going to have to be the teams that really want to find a way to get players. You know, I need to get over the hump, so I'm going to sign Austin Eckler because I know that he can help me in the passing game tremendously. It's going to be those type of teams that we're going to see how far they'll bend it. But as we see, I know the cap went up $20 million per club, which is tremendous for everybody. It saves the Saints. It saves organizations. But I don't know. You know, right now, sadly, the running back world is in the middle class of the NFL, and that middle class is still non-existent. It's the stars and it's the others. And then there's a huge gap between the guys that are the stars and the others. And so I think that it's going to be where, you know, the deals are probably going to be in the 10 to 13, 14 year per range. And I think they're going to be shorter deals, more in the three type of year deal, like we saw wide receivers do a couple of years ago. I think that's going to be the new norm for running back because you have to take positions on both sides of the ball and say, I can't pay everybody. And I think it's offensive center and running back on the offensive side. And I think it's linebacker and strong safety on the defensive side.
Okay, what about in terms of Russell Wilson? You know, he does another podcast and acts like they called him, and the team apparently never called him. Says, yeah, I want to win two more Super Bowls, and I'd love to do it in Denver. And then all we get out of Denver is their GM and their head coach both saying, hey, nobody's called us to ask us for a trade. It feels, again, you're in Indy. We're not. It feels like an FU. Right? You leaked this story. You've made it out to woe is me. You've created this I'd love to be around. Knowing none of this stuff is going to happen, is that what's behind the Broncos GM and coach both saying, hey, nobody's even called us about the guy?
Yeah, a little bit. But no one wants to look at that contract. I mean, the Broncos are pretty much engaged and married and stuck into the Russell Wilson world. The contract's just so massive and so big. The compensation was significant. George Payton, the general manager, is a big piece of that. Sean Payton probably had multiple choices to go. And here's what I would say. You know, Pete Carroll got a lot out of Russell Wilson, and maybe the most. But Sean Payton is known as a really good coach and a really good quarterback coach. And it was good, but it wasn't great. You know, they just got better towards the second half of the season. But if Sean Payton can't get it out of you and Pete Carroll trades you, you might not want that guy. That's the way I'd be thinking as a GM. It's like, maybe this isn't the fit for us, so why am I going to call and even think about acquiring a contract at that magnitude for our organization when I'd rather just go back in the draft? I'll go sign Kirk Cousins. I'll go, you know, look, I'll talk to Baker Mayfield. Maybe those are better, even though Russell has certainly the credentials of wins and a championship. I think I'd rather take my shot somewhere else.
No question. Where do you think he plays next year?
I think he's stuck in Denver. I think he stays. I don't think there's really an option. I think that he's going to play in Denver because I think the cap's going to keep him there. And then I think, depending on how it goes, it will be.
You don't think they buy him out?
Yeah.
You don't think they buy him out?
I don't think they want to. I mean, that's a lot of cap space you're going to have to eat. That is a lot of, and I know that we just got a big injection, but then you have to decide if you're Denver and you're going to walk into the Justin Herbert world and the Patrick Mahomes and say, let's do a reset. That's a very dangerous place to be in the National Football League. And there's not a lot of options out there, I think, when you're already going to have to eat a huge contract. It's hard to go tell the owner, yeah, it didn't work out with Russell, but this veteran, this is the one I really want.
Yeah.
I want to spend $120 million on him instead. You can go to the draft, but then the draft is such a draft for a reason that you could get yourself in a lot of trouble. I just think it doesn't sound great. No one's called him because in the end, I don't think Russell has a lot of different places to go, and I don't think Denver has a lot of, okay, you can tell me what the problem is, but what's the solution? I think it's a problem in Denver because they don't have a solution.
He is just outstanding. He's Mark Domenech. He spent over 20 years in NFL front offices and scouting. Of course, former general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And it appears like he's at a working kitchen somewhere in Indianapolis.
It sounds like it, doesn't it? It's all good. Watching these big men run, that's the best part about it.
It is. Enjoy Indy. We'll talk soon.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Every day in the Doug Gottlieb Show, we try and get you updated on as many stories as possible. We got a bunch of ways to do it. You know, lead off with a big hot topic we did with LeBron. Then we took you to the combine. We did that with Mark Domenech. Now we take you all over the world of sports. Here's Monty Bolaños for the game.
This is Game Time.
It's Game Time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Hello, Monty.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well. I think I sound British and you sound Australian, so we're not doing well. Lorena, what are we playing? With an accent. Go.
I feel a draft.
That's right. We are going to play.
Hello.
Hello.
That's not.
You sound like you're from down under.
No, that's G'day.
G'day. No. G'day. I thought you were British.
Yeah, there you go.
Whatever. They all sound the same.
Hello, Monty.
Hello, love.
Hello, yeah. Hello,
love. Okay, meet in. Okay. All right, so we are going to draft our favorite ridiculous conspiracy theories. This comes on the heels of Texas Tech cornerback Tyler Owen saying at the NFL Combine that he doesn't believe in space and that flat earth theories make valid points. So this is the order of the draft. Doug, Lorena, Jason, me, Snakeback, me, Jason, Lorena, ends with Doug.
He said what?
He said that he doesn't believe in space and planets. And then he said that flat earth has theorists have good points.
Hold on, let me take my Texas Tech entrance exam. I'm gonna get my pulse.
So good.
There we go, we're in. Okay.
So good.
All right, go ahead. We're drafting favorite conspiracy theories?
Yeah. Or most ridiculous, whatever.
Most ridiculous?
Yeah. Whichever one.
Which is it?
Whichever one you want. Because I got both. I've listed so many.
The most ridiculous is the election thing. Like, I'm just done with, I'm just done.
So you're taking
and,
that one.
And just so you know, let me just point this out. I have a friend who was in the White House, was a lawyer in the White House, who was like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Because it's so ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Right? That Dominion company, they won, was it billions or hundreds of millions of dollars because people just made it up. And it, but you still ask people today, like, nah, we're stolen. Trump won. Like, no. That Carrie Lake lady, she's running again. She lost, and then second she lost, she's like, I didn't lose.
Yeah.
Election fraud.
All right, Lorena. Although I do love the flat earth theory, my favorite conspiracy is that we didn't go to the moon. There was no moon landing. It was all fake.
That was the other one. That was the one that I was like,
that's a good one.
There's two of my favorites. We'll see if we get around.
It looks like
the
a movie set to me. How could it not be?
It does look like a movie
set. It does.
Set.
There's no way.
It does. Jason?
Movie sets in space. Yes. Jason, what do you got?
Another political one, but and I'm not, I won't get into the details, but I guess a bunch of Democrats were out of a basement of a pizza place once doing a bunch of really disgusting things to people. And it actually led to a scene where someone who bought this conspiracy theory went to that pizza place with a gun. And this is why these conspiracies could be really dangerous. So the most ridiculous theory is that one. And
okay,
if you don't know it, Google it.
You got one more?
I got one. All right.
Muncie has one. It's me.
Yeah, all right. Lady Gaga murdering an up-and-coming singer, Lena Morgana, and taking over her identity to become Lady Gaga.
What?
Yes, it's so good.
Never heard of that.
They were two friends and, like, working together, and Lena Morgana committed suicide, but everybody says that Gaga actually pushed her and off a building and took over her, like, identity and became Lady Gaga. Dun-dun-dun. Wow. It's so good.
I've never heard this one. Now I know what I'll be Googling.
You're welcome.
During the break.
That's okay, like what happened in Google.
One? Google
She's
this
got
way.
A good poker face.
Yeah. Avril Lavigne apparently died around 2003, and she is being impersonated by a different girl named Melissa Vandella. So Avril Lavigne had a body double when she was alive because she couldn't handle the fame. She died, and apparently her body double is just her now. And everybody says that if you look closely at their facial features, it's a different person.
Is this your second conspiracy theory or is it still the first?
Second. No, Lorena, Jason, you got another one. Jason,
yeah,
hurry, go,
go.
You got another
Jason.
One.
Jason.
I'm sticking to music. Tupac's still alive.
Okay, what about you, Lorena?
Oh, no. Go, Doug.
JFK, magic bullet theory.
Oh, that's a good one.
JFK?
Yeah.
JFK.
JFK.
Yeah, and also the NFL is scripted.
That's a good one.
That's a dumb one. Dumb one. It's a good one because it's so dumb.
That's game time.
Doug Gottlieb Show.
That's game, huh?
More conspiracy theories plus game time. Why are the Patriots trying to diminish Bill Belichick?
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.